the words we just sung, the end of the song we just sang, it said, yes, Jesus the Saviour, the glory crowned Lord, is worthy by all to be ever adored. Quite bold words, I think. And I hope this evening to explain why I believe those words to be quite personally true to myself, how I feel about the Lord Jesus Christ and why I feel that way about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we could turn to page 1189, Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Sorry, 1188, starting at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard it, said, this man calls for Elias. And immediately one of them, running and getting a sponge, having filled it with vinegar and fixed it on a reed, gave him to drink. But the rest said, let us see if Elias comes to save him. And Jesus, having again cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. I'd like to read another passage of scripture, Luke chapter 24, the page number in a second. Let me get there myself. It's page 1263. Luke chapter 24, page 1263, starting at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going on the same day to a village distant 60 stadia from Jerusalem, called Emmaus. And they conversed with one another about all these things which had taken place. And it came to pass, as they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, drawing nigh, went with them. For the eyes were holden as not to know him. He said to them, what discourses are these which pass between you as you walk, and are downcast? And one of them, named Cleopas, answering, said to him, thou sojournest alone in Jerusalem, and dost not know what has taken place in these days. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, that the things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and words before God and the people, and how chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the judgment of death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. But then, beside all these things, it is now, today, the third day since these things took place. And withal, certain women from amongst us astonished us, having been very early in the sepulchre, and not having found his body, came, saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, who say that he is living. And some of those with us went to the sepulchre, and found it so, as the woman also had said. But him they saw not. And he said to them, O senseless and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And having begun from Moses and from the prophets, he interpreted to them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is declining. And he entered in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he was at table with them, having taken the bread, he blessed, and having broken it, he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way? And he opened up the scriptures to us. And rising up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. And they related what had happened on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. I was just thinking recently, and sometimes as we go through life, we go through times when we perhaps feel alone. Maybe if we're in amongst a load of people who are really into a topic. Perhaps if you don't like cars and you're in amongst a load of people who really like cars and they're talking about cars, you might feel a bit secluded and alone. Or Or perhaps when we are physically alone, there's no one around us, we sometimes maybe feel alone, and it's sometimes hard, isn't it? We need as human beings, we need people around us to help us and to encourage us and to socialise with. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as we were reading here, in the first passage in Matthew, he was totally alone. He was so alone, and I'll come to that in a minute. But I want to speak a bit more about ourselves. You see, we will never feel completely satisfied because we are separated from God. You see, in the Garden of Eden, a long time ago, in the Garden of Eden, back at the beginning of when the world was created, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and that caused a distance between man and God. Before then, God would come down into the garden and would commune with man, would talk with man, have a conversation with Adam, and there was that link there. But as soon as sin came in, that link was separated. And because of that, since that time, there's been that link separated between man and God. We've seen that certain, if you read the scriptures, you look through the Old Testament, there are certain men, you might say men of faith, who were able to have some communication with God, were able to speak to God at a certain level, and some closer than others. But there's always that burning issue of sin in our lives, which has separated us. You see, we can't talk straight to God because of this sin, because God cannot have sin in his presence. He's a holy and just God, and he cannot have sin in his presence. And we cannot approach him and talk to him while that sin is still an issue in our lives. You see, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came in, he went through this world and he experienced all the things that man might experience. He experienced pain, he experienced suffering, he experienced rejection, people rejecting him and turning him away from him, even though he never did anything wrong against them. And we see here the culmination of that, the very pinnacle of that, this point here where man has completely rejected him and has crucified him, and he's suffering a physical torture which the Romans invented, called crucifixion, where he was nailed to the cross. And we cannot begin to understand what sort of pains he must have been enduring there, physical pains. But it went further, you see, because we read about these 3 hours of darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. There was darkness, so that represents a time where God himself separated completely from the Lord Jesus. You see, although we're separated in communication from God, we're never completely separated from him. God has his hand over our lives, and we're never completely separated from him. If we were, we would die instantly. But the Lord Jesus Christ here had to endure that. He was perfect and holy. He could endure that. He's the only one who could endure that. And he was completely alone there, separated completely from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Father, from God. We cannot begin to imagine what he endured there. Not only was he rejected by man, but but God turned his back on him, and he could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Completely alone in his suffering. No one could endure that, but the Lord Jesus endured that for us. And eventually, it says here that he gave up the ghost. He cried out with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. And he went into death for us. He suffered in death for us. His reason for doing this, it was for an answer for sin. You see, as I said earlier, we're separated from God because of our sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into this, and he suffered all this for us. You see, we deserve that punishment. That's it. That punishment was due to us because of our sin. But the Lord, if you read in the book of Genesis how, because of sin, death came in because of sin. And we deserve, because of our sin, each one has sin in their lives, and we deserve, because of our sin, to spend an eternity in hell. We deserve to die, and we deserved to spend an eternity in hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he took that punishment for us. And that darkness, you know, I've been speaking to others here already today about the fact there's going to be an eclipse later on this month, the 20th this month. There's going to be an eclipse where the moon covers the sun, We won't get it to in its totality here in this part of the UK. You'd have to go up to the Faroe Islands for that. But there will be a partial eclipse here. But I've read that the longest an eclipse will last for a total eclipse, where you have the total dark, the total brightness of the sun is completely hidden, the longest it will last for is about 7.5 minutes. When the Lord Jesus Christ went into death, the darkness was for 3 hours. And I think that's quite significant. You see, God was so drew himself so much apart from God, apart from the Lord Jesus, that he turned his back on him, and there was no life, there was no light in that whole land for 3 hours, which is longer than any eclipse would ever last. Much, much longer than the eclipse would last. But you see, in the second passage which we read in Luke, we see of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he died for our sin, but we see of another description of the Lord Jesus, how he met these men, these two men, the disciples, and they were walking away from Jerusalem. They were saddened. they were saddened by the events, because they knew of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he'd gone into death. And for them, it was all over. They thought that it was all over. This person who they'd been following around, they recognised him from what they said. They recognised him as a prophet, not much more. They expected him to come and to overthrow the authorities and rule Israel and sort all the problems of the land out at the time. And so they were really sad and disheartened, walking away. They thought that they believed in something, and they thought now that perhaps they shouldn't have, and perhaps it was all too good to be true. So they're walking away sad. And Jesus is clearly concerned for them here. You see, tonight, dear friends, Jesus is concerned for you too. You know, he doesn't want you to turn away from him tonight. He wants you to turn to him. And we see that these here are turning away. They're walking away from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the point where Jesus came to. But they were here walking away from Jerusalem, and they thought that there was nothing left to be told. They're deeply disheartened. But anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the time to walk with them, and he follows them, and he teaches to them the scriptures. How amazing would that be to have the Lord Jesus to preach the scriptures to us? But you see, he preached it to them here, and they say afterwards that their hearts were burning within because of the Lord Jesus Christ preaching the scriptures to them. They didn't realise, they still didn't realise at the time, while Jesus was preaching the scriptures to them, they still didn't realise it was him. But they then stopped for the night at a place. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go further. I think that's quite nice. A nice touch there. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go further, but he came in with them to have dinner with them. And he has what's called the breaking of bread. And perhaps that reminded them, when after the breaking of bread, they realised, because that reminded them the time in the upper house, in the Passover meal, where the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was going to go into death. He said, "My body will be broken for you, and the cup represents the wine, my blood spilt for you." He told them before he went into death that he was going into death. And we see here him reminding them that. And then they realised it clicked. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment it clicked, the Lord Jesus Christ disappeared. I don't know why he disappeared, but he disappeared. And they trusted in him. Dear friend, tonight, I hope that each one of us here can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They realised then that he is risen. There had been rumours that he'd been risen, but these two had refused to believe it until they heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the message tonight is that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. And I hope that each one of us here can accept that. You see, there are two places where we can spend eternity. We can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. He will be, not only for eternity, but here on this world, he will be our companion. At times, when I talked about earlier, about times when we are lonely. We don't need to be lonely. We can always have the Lord Jesus Christ help us. If we find at times we're lonely, we can turn to him. If we find times of trial and hardship, we can turn to him, speak to him. He'll help us through. I know he's helped me through times of trial and hardship. He can help each one of us through these hard times. And, you know, there are two places where you can spend eternity. It's either spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, although God cannot have sin in our presence, he will intercede for us if we trust him and turn to him in repentance. He will intercede for us and save us from our sins, make us right before God, so that we can approach God as Father. How amazing is that? But the other option, of course, is an eternity in hell, which is a lonely existence. Not only is it a lonely existence, it's a painful, it's a horrible existence. But that's your choice this evening. You need to make a decision whether you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and spend all eternity with him, a friend who is concerned about you, a friend who is willing to help you out all the way through your life and through eternity, or spend eternity in hell. And I hope each one of us here this evening accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. In his name's sake.
Amen.